This is The State of Things. I'm Frank Stachow. There's a lot of holiday music in the air, most of it in the form of Christmas carols. You know the old ones, the old standards, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, Jingle Bells, O Holy Night. But if you are looking for something a little different, you ought to come out to the Church of the Holy Family in Chapel Hill this weekend. Baritone Stephen Kimbrough will be performing songs from his latest CD, Christmas Lullabies from Around the World. And he joins me in the studio now to talk more about it. Stephen Kimbrough, welcome.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Lullabies, a specific form of music, I guess, different than Christmas carols, right?
Well, they do have particularly with getting a child to sleep. And these particular ones, which have fascinated me as I put them together, are really the imagination of someone as to how the Mother Mary or Joseph or, in one case, a bird might have sung the Christ child to sleep.
So in this case, I mean, I suppose there's a couple of ways it could happen. It could be a mother singing to their child about the Christmas story, but in the ones you've chosen, you're saying this imagines what's happening there in the manger scene.
Yes, and in one of them, there's actually a conversation between Mother Mary and the Christ child. And at the end of it, he says, if I weep and do not sleep, then you sing the lullaby to me.
And how typical are these of other lullabies? Because these are lullabies around the world. So are there similarities and differences between the way mothers sing their babies to sleep?
There's perhaps similarity in the way the composers imagine the music, because you might well guess it's not romping, stomping lullabies. But there is a difference in the way, in the syllables. There are non-lexical syllables that people often use, you know, whatever we say to a child that would be nonsense to someone else. And so from language to language, there are French ones, there's a Latin one, there are German ones. And one of the German, at the end of one of the German lullabies, the words are simply shum shy, shy. And then in one of the Italian ones, Joseph sings La Rin La Reta. And in the Spanish one, A La Rue A La May. And then we get Bye Bye. And in the Scottish one, it's Balu La Mi. Balu La Mi. It's fascinating.
You know, if I had to get now, just hearing you talk about it, I would guess that every lullaby would end with what we call an aspirant. In other words, where you let out some breath, and that you'd want to do that at the end of every line because that's that calming sound. But apparently not in every language. Huh?
Well, we sing Rockabye Baby in the Treetop, you know, which isn't one of the ones that I have done. But this word bye is interesting because it does recur also in a number of languages. Bye, 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 bye. Bye-bye, which isn't really an aspirant, and yet you can almost aspirate it.
You
can make it.
Well, I want to hear a sample from your album. This is something called The Other Night, and it's from 15th century England.
Whence art thou come? Art thou not God alway? But nevertheless, I will not cease to sing bye-bye, lule. The angels bright round me shall light and guard me night and day. And in that sight thou mayst delight to sing bye-bye, lule.
And that is a little bit from The Other Night from the album Christmas Lullabies from Around the World by Stephen Kimbrough, who's going to be performing at the Church of the Holy Family this Saturday in Chapel Hill. Tell us about that song.
Well, this is the one where there is a conversation between Mother Mary and the Christ child. And he says, the angels bright round me shall light and guard me night and day. And then she says, methinks of right, the Lord of right should lie in rich array. But obviously he doesn't. She says, but nevertheless, I will not cease to sing bye-bye, lule. And then at the end is when the Christ child speaks to Mother Mary and says, Well, if it doesn't work and I weep and don't sleep, then you sing bye-bye, Lule. So the imagination is very, very different here because we have this conversation between the child and the mother.
In these songs that you've chosen, who all sings to the baby in the manger? Is it only the mother?
No, there is an Italian one in which Joseph sings to the child, Larin Lareta. Very unusual, I think, to think of Joseph singing to the child, but why not? Fathers sing to children as well. And then in a very famous song by Max Reger, Maria's Wiegenlied, Maria's Lullaby, it is a beautiful bird at the feet of Mary who sings, Schlaf, Kindlein, Schlaf, Süße, Schlaf ein. This word schlafen in German is to sleep, you know.
Did you have to do a lot of research before you put this album together?
Well, the research was really in looking for songs that I thought were appropriate, and yet I was a little bit afraid that, my goodness, a whole album of lullabies, how does anybody stay awake through that?
Probably, you know? Yeah.
And I was very grateful. My sister is the one who did the arrangements for the album, and they're so diverse that I think it really helps a lot.
Are there other lullabies for other seasons and other feasts? Do you know? Are there Easter lullabies?
I am totally uninformed. I haven't run across any.
We've got a few months to work that out before your next album comes out, and then we can have you back. You hold a doctorate in Old Testament and Semitic languages, and I wonder if that training obviously is very important in this. You know what people are saying.
Well, I'm always fascinated by languages, and of course, I lived in Europe many, many, many years and speak German, French, and Italian, and I'm fascinated by, from language to language, how this gets you inside the mentality of a people, and especially when it comes to children who pick up languages so quickly. But I find it just fascinating also that you could sing any child to sleep with any lullaby from any language.
And yet there are differences. This is what fascinates me, what you said earlier, the fact that we use by in English.
Yeah.
And so from language to language, kind of how parents conceive this and how they're composed in the minds of the parent putting the child to sleep is different. There are different sounding syllables, even
Precisely.
Though you think that the mind of the child would only respond to any.
Bye-bye and baloo.
Let's listen to another clip from your album now. This one is called Jesus, Jesus, Rest Your Head.
You have got a manger bed. Have you heard about our Jesus? Have you heard about his fate? How his mother came to that stable on that Christmas Eve so late? Winds were blowing, cows were lowing, stars were glowing, glowing, glowing. Jesus, Jesus, rest your head. You have got a manger bed. All the evil folk rest your head. You have got a manger bed.
That's a little bit of Jesus, Jesus, Rest Your Head from the album Christmas Lullabies from Around the World by Stephen Kimbrough, my guest this hour. He's going to be at the Church of the Holy Family this Saturday in Chapel Hill singing more. Tell us about that song.
Well, this is a wonderful Appalachian carol. It comes from, I don't know if it's North Carolina, but it comes from the Appalachian Mountains. And John Jacob Niles, a Canadian troubadour, collected many of these songs and made them popular. And again, this is a totally different feeling and different imagination here, really saying to the child, Christ, put your head on the pillow here and rest, you know. But then the verses are quite descriptive of the biblical story itself.
How far back can you go and find lullabies? Because they're really in the folk tradition, so I suspect they didn't often get written down, did they? The earliest ones?
Well, I'm sure most of them were in oral tradition, most certainly, to begin with. And
What makes some of them get written? Why is there a 15th century lullaby still available to you?
Well, I think that's because there's that age-old problem of how do I get this child to sleep?
Right. Well, you know the moms are singing it, but I guess are these songs still being sung, or have they at one point, did they get written down, and are they parts of collections somewhere?
Many of them are in the British ones, certainly in collections of earlier material. But this particular song from the 15th century, The Other Night, which no doubt is part of an Anglo-Saxon tradition, is very unusual because it's the only one I've come across that imagines this conversation between the mother
going
and the child.
Going back and forth, And you wrote a lullaby yourself on this album, right?
It's the last one on the album called Mary's Lullaby. And I imagined a very different kind of thing for the Mother Mary to be singing, and it's a foreshadowing of Christ's life, namely that the song of the angels becomes her lullaby. Peace. She wants this child to remember that peace on earth and goodwill are really important. And so she sings it to him.
Good word to end on for a lot of reasons, not only the message, but it just sounds right, peace. And then you have that little aspirin at the end. I'm going to play another clip now before we run out of time. This one is called Sleep Now, Holy Baby, and this one is from Mexico.
No temas, Herodes, que nada te ha de hacer. En brazos de tu madre y ahí nadie te ha de ofender.
Sleep, sleep now, sleep now, holy baby, a Mexican lullaby collected on the album called Lullabies from Around the World by Stephen Kimbrough, my guest this hour. That one is Mexican. So, and what do you know about that one?
Well, this particular one is preserved in the current Episcopal hymnal, actually, and does appear in a few others. I haven't seen it anywhere except in Central and North America in collections, so I'm not aware of it being used outside that, although it could well be that in other parts of Latin America that it's used. But my acquaintance with it first came through the Episcopal hymnal. That's the first time I encountered it.
So we talked about the fact that you can use different syllables, different sounding syllables, to get a baby to sleep wherever they are. Now that you've put this album together, is there anything musically that binds every lullaby that sort of, I mean, obviously the tempo, it's down tempo. We know that. Okay. But beyond that, is there anything about the structure of the music that is common to all cultures?
One thing that is common to these pieces is that they generally are strophic songs.
Meaning?
Meaning that they have verses that repeat. The music repeats. A few of them would have a bridge where we would have the pattern of what we call A-B-A instead of A-A. And it's interesting that in the piece by Max Reger, when he wants to say something a little differently in the second part of the song, he changes the mood of the music completely. I won't say completely, but he changes the mood of the music. There isn't generally a change of mood in these songs. They're pretty consistent, I think. But one common feature is that at some point in them, they all move to a very quiet moment. When you're thinking, I finally made it. The child is closing his or her eyes.
Then you want to start from the loud and then get to the soft. So you start where they are and you bring them where you want to go. I guess that's common.
Yeah.
And in the music itself, is it located in the cultural, in the folk sound of the music? I mean, for instance, that Mexican, if I had an earful of what I would consider Mexican music, I didn't hear that in that lullaby. How common is the lullaby to the folk tradition?
Well, actually, I think in the bass line, that rolling dum, 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 and of course, one could perhaps very quietly, which we didn't do, We put a flute with it, but we could one could very quietly have clavis there.
Mm-hmm.
They could be there, and you could perhaps, you know, but I didn't feel like that. I wanted to play around too much with it. But.
What's the oldest song on your album? Is it that
15th century one?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Any big surprises? Anything that you had not expected to learn or hear in that music?
Well, one thing I really hadn't anticipated doing, because one of the songs, Gesù Bambin Lenato, is in a northern Italian dialect called Piemontese, which I don't speak very well, or don't speak at all, you know. But it's interesting. I found a gentleman here in Durham who was born in northern Italy who spoke the language, who helped me with that. Yeah. I didn't anticipate that, for sure.
You know, you could have snuck that one by us. We might not have known. Stephen, thank you so much. Great pleasure talking with you.
Thank you very much.
Stephen Kimbrough, internationally known baritone singer. His latest album called Christmas Lullabies from Around the World. He's going to be performing at the Church of the Holy Family in Saturday at Chapel Hill. And you can get more information at stkimbrough.com. You spell Kimbrough, K-I-M-B-R-O-U-G-H. Thanks for listening to The State of Things. Thanks. You know where to find us. We're on the web at stateofthings.org. And this is North Carolina Public Radio. It's a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stachow.